5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's the new Panic Room. It's the show other shows want to be, and the show that authors want to be on.
All-new Panic Room Radio Show is brought to you by HellboundBooks.com.
Well, good evening. One and all, it is the Panic Room episode 273 on Promises to Be, and I don't know what the day is. The 28th of April, Lord. So it is, yeah. It's 4 months of the year gone. So I don't know where the time is going. It's scary in many ways, but it's kind of, you know, when you think about it, it's like, where is time going? Is time accelerating? Is it us that's just that we're all getting older? I don't know. But, you know, this sadly sadly, it is very much the highlight of my week. This is my social life. So I still got, could be COVID, you never know. But so before I die of COVID, I think we should bring Xtina on. We say it pretty much every week now. It just seems like a couple of days ago we were doing this nonsense. And here we are again, and it's Thursday, which means tomorrow's Friday, and then another weekend. And then it's ready to repeat, and we get to do it all over again. So, you know, until we're dead, you know, so there's that to look forward to.
Yeah, well,
at least things will then just pause for a little while, you know, and we can have a bit of a lie down and a rest, you know?
No, you know, I think that I've had dreams where we're still doing this after death. So I think
absolutely.
This is our like purgatory or something.
It. We'll just be too busy for heaven or hell. Just stick us in purgatory. Let's do the show every week. Carry on with work, you know, because we can't let death get in the way of work, because we just start.
It's true.
That busy, and you know, and it's funny. We do moan about it a little bit, but it is. It's good to be busy, you know. If we were sat twiddling our thumbs with nothing to do, that'd be a big worry and
true.
A bigger stress, you know. Last week, I've not been well. It could be COVID. Who knows? Who cares? To be honest with you, I'm still. You know, it's not going to kill me, but. And it makes you, sort of, you get a little bit introspective and, you know, it's, it can be a bit of a worry, but, you know, I'm still here and still going on and coughing along up here and there, you know, but there's that. There is
that.
Yeah,
you definitely, you know, you don't get sick very often. And and I think that when we all had it, we had the... Mm-hmm. Full symptoms for about 2 weeks, and then you know, it started to come. But it's no fun.
Yeah, well,
but,
I've still got this cough that's a little bit irritating, and I'm a bit sinusy still. Although to be fair, with all the pollen around, I was a little bit sinusy to start with anyway. All these other, and you read all the, of course, you know, you do reading all these other symptoms. It's just literally anything. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, his leg fell off. Oh, well, that's a symptom of COVID, that. His leg falling off. I know you went through it, not taste. I can taste my food perfectly well, thank you.
Oh, that's awful.
Although it's funny. made myself a nice cup of tea, you know, And thought, this tastes, it could be COVID. This tastes, and then yes. when you notice that you put your milk in and it's floating on the top in clumps.
Oh yeah.
And how old is this fucking milk? You know,
because I couldn't.
Yeah. I always, as a habit, I always sniff the milk, and of course, being a bit bunged up, I couldn't tell. It was practically cheese, to be honest.
That's so gross.
And I'd drunk a quarter of the cup, and it's like,
oh god.
And then for the rest of the day, it's sort of coming back up a little bit, and it's like, oh, this is just nasty.
Yes.
So that wasn't the COVID, disgusting. That was me. That was me drinking milk that was well past its sell-by date. But it goes off so quick, you know. I can sort of, you know, have a cup of tea in the morning and it's fine. And I come to have my 11s, because you know, British, and it's all clotted and horrible and stinks like rotten fucking God knows what, but. It's funny. Just speaking of me being a Yorkshireman, we are known for being thrifty. And for the past 3 days, we have a big trash can in our kitchen, or just off the kitchen. And every time I lift it, I say, "Oh, this awful stink coming out." And of course, it's only half full because it's got I've got half a bin bag going on here. I'm not going to throw this away. My daughter was actually chastising me about it. I thought, "What is that?" Then I realised. I think it was on Sunday. excuse me. One of the puppies had pooped in the puppy room, so I chucked it in the bin. So this is like a 5-day-old puppy poo.
Oh, gosh.
Thing at the bottom of the bin. And she said, "Why did you throw it out?" I said, "No, look, there's still a third of the way to go to the top of the bin. I'm not wasting a perfectly good bin bag." So, long story short, it's still in there. And every time you pop something in, this waft of fetid, week-old dog shit wafts out. You know, it's just like,
gross.
Yeah, I'm painting a picture now. We just live like animals, I think, most of the time. But it's one of those. It's not that, because I say this again, because I'm a little bit stuffed up. I can't smell it. It's not that bad. Apparently, according to my daughter, it's pretty damn bad, actually. So, but it's bin day Saturday, so I'll probably put it out. Put it out tomorrow evening.
I remember watching The Osbournes way back when that show was on, the reality. And that's how I picture your house. Oz is just running around yelling for Sharon, and there's like dogs everywhere. And yeah, that's what I pictured.
Well, you saw the picture I posted on Facebook yesterday.
Yes.
And I had to take the picture. It was a rare event that they were all in the same space together, laying down, not trying to eat each other or run around or all that. They were just all settled and they were all together. Because usually we've got, you know, one of them's off in a different room or one's off upstairs or whatever. But it was just kind of really sweet. They were just all at the same place. It's pretty close, actually. We have the five dogs. And to be fair, they don't poop everywhere. It's the rare occasion, because the puppies are still in there, they have their own room at night, that they get caught short in the night. And it is a rare event now. Not, hopefully we'll be able to stop putting them in the puppy room at night, but, it's a pretty good sized room. It's probably as big as my bedroom when I was a kid.
I feel bad for the intruder who tries to break into your house. Though there's massive dogs.
We have a pack of dogs. He would be consumed.
Yes.
I mean, really. It would be, and he'd probably step in something unpleasant as well, you know?
Yeah. We just have the ankle biters, but they think they're fierce. You know, they will, oh my gosh, this morning I texted the boyfriend and I was like, "These dogs are going to be a bad smell in the basement." I was so mad. They wouldn't stop. He was out in the garage doing manly garage, things.
Yes,
you know,
man things.
Yes. I don't even know what he was doing. He explained it to me. I saw a video and everything. He was doing something in there.
Yeah, we're told.
And every time he would make a noise, the dogs would start barking. And there were three of them. And I was still trying to sleep. Some people need their beauty rest. And, so you know, I think he texted something like, good morning. He was all excited. And I was like, your dogs, they're going to be a bad smell in the basement. And I was...
I was actually reading an article online the other day about... and they actually interviewed professional burglars about, you know, what deterrents and everything. And obviously dogs is a big one. They said that the little dogs,
yeah.
No. Just no.
Right, right.
So you're going to have to... You know, just don't bother. And that's been my philosophy. But, I mean, we have... You know, certainly even the puppies are pretty decent size now, but we have a pit bull. And we have a shepherd, and we have, I mean, the old boys, I don't know what the fuck he is, to be honest, but he doesn't look very scary. And then the puppet, they make a lot of noise. They look, I mean, certainly with pit bulls, they have a reputation. I mean, to be fair, she's as soft can be, you know, but people don't know that. And they bark, they make a lot of noise. And hopefully that's a great, like you say, anybody trying to break into this house would have to be a special kind of stupid, because something is
Yeah, you know, definitely. But... You know, ours, they make a lot of noise, so there's that. I mean, they would at least alert us to the fact that somebody was breaking in.
Yes.
But that would be pretty much all they
Well, that's it. It's an early warning system, so, you know, you're up and out of bed with your, you know, with your Glock in your hand for when they come in, so when they do come in the house.
Exactly.
You know, so there is that. And again, that's a big part of the deterrent. You know, if certainly your opportunistic thief, you can say, well, you know, I'll move on to the next house that doesn't have an early warning system, you know, or the chance of getting, I mean, there's a very real chance of getting, I mean, little ankle bites, maybe it's not, although they can be more vicious than anything, you know, with what we've got, we've got a good selection of things that look like they could bite. And if they did bite you, you'd know it, you know. But it's one of those things. You know, that, I mean, they're great, but dogs know. You know, they can read people better than people can read them, and they would know if somebody was taking it, if they weren't supposed to be in, or somebody was posing. They would know that, and that they would, and they have, because they obviously have a pack mentality. And it just takes, if one, it's like you say, one starts barking, they all bark, you know, and that's trigger each other. And that's why a pack can be dangerous. I mean, it'll happen. It'll you just keep your eye on the local Texas news, because I'll pass away quietly in the night and they'll find my half eaten corpse, because the dogs will just oh, he's gone. It's you know, dinner time. So I am most likely to be found half eaten by my dogs. That'll do you know it's what I would have wanted.
So heartwarming. It's so heartwarming.
That's what I would have wanted. I think anyway, we digress. I'm assuming we have some sort of show going on this evening.
We do. And tonight is Dark Fantasy Night. Both of our authors that we have are dark fantasy authors. And I'm excited. Yeah. So I'm going to announce our first guest, and you push that cool button right there.
I'll press a button. No guarantees, as you know, but it's a bit like, you know, back in the days when I used to have a girlfriend. You know, when I used to make love, you know, I just prod away and hope something happens. So, which wonder I ever had children, to be honest with you. But let's give it a go.
Oh, gosh. Our first guest of the evening, we have dark fantasy author Christopher D. Monceau.
Hello.
I'm hoping I just... Hi.
Thank you. How are you doing tonight?
How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. You're coughing quite a bit there. Are you hanging in there?
I am. I was just saying, you know, I've had this cough, and it's just left me with this cough, and it's more of a nuisance than anything. You know, I'm trying to have a conversation, or you know, like breathe. You know, so.
Right.
I do apologize. I'm trying not to cough too much. So, but thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to come on.
Definitely. I'm hoping I didn't butcher your last name too much. I was, you know.
Oh, no, you pronounced it correctly.
Woo, good one. You know, thank what? You. In the beginning of our show years ago, I would, James had the fun task of pronouncing the guest names, and, you know, he says I did it on purpose, but I really didn't.
You did.
Find...
You did. She, seriously, she used to book guests deliberately based on how awkward they're. So, because obviously I'm a foreigner, obviously, and I struggle with some things, some big words and foreign words and that. So this is why I make her do it now, because then I don't butcher people's names.
I was thinking that tonight, yeah. No, go ahead, Christopher.
I'm actually, I write under an assumed name anyway, so I like to make the joke with people who do know, like my given name. They'll ask me, like, how do you pronounce that? I'm like, I don't know how to pronounce this.
Nice.
But from best I can tell, Monso is the way you're supposed to say it, so.
Let's run with that. It's kind of a little bit French. It's kind of exotic. I like it. It's a good name. I might steal that name, actually. So certainly better than mine, to be honest.
James Monceau. I can see it. There we go. Yeah.
Couldn't you just? Yes.
So Christopher is here to talk to us about his book, Birds of the Fallen. Awake, arise, or be forever fallen. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yes, my novel, Feathers of the Fallen, is a dark fantasy. I've taken a lot of inspiration from the works of John Milton, who is the author of Paradise Lost, and Dante Alighieri, who, of course, wrote Dante's Inferno. The series is set in a universe where I've kind of melded together like theological realms of heaven and hell with aspects of Norse mythology. So you have like Valhalla and like the Nordic pantheon, and they all sort of interact in kind of like this weird interstellar journey that they're all on. It gets rather dark at points, but I like to make the joke often that it's sometimes a romance novel, like parading in a dark fantasy like outfit, because I don't know, I go on tangents. I've had fun writing it. It's extremely. I've been writing it for since I was in high school. I started planning out the universe for this particular novel series, and it is going pretty well at the moment.
How many books are you in to the series?
I'm currently writing the third. I've had I had The Feathers of the Fallen written, which is what I'm going to be reading from tonight. But there's also The Counterfeit of Sin, which is its sequel. And then I've gone back and wrote like an extreme prequel. It's really based on like the John Milton Paradise Lost, Fall of Lucifer, like the Fall of Man story. And that was released earlier this year and is called The Apostasy of Eden.
Mm-hmm. I have to say, I really admire authors that do any kind of fantasy because, you know, as a writer, I can write what I can see, you know, but building these worlds, it fascinates me, and I'm definitely in awe of it. You know, yeah. How do you go about building a world like this?
A heck of a lot of nerd stuff. easy answer there. I grew up on like novels like The Belgariad and The Lord of the Rings, and more recently, like George R.R. Martin and like The Game of Thrones, Song of Ice and Fire, which I am sure we're never going to see the end of that series. But but I kind of grew up. Like that was my deal. I loved reading Tolkien. I loved the attention to detail. Like this man essentially invented a language and then wrote like encyclopedias on like his whole world. And I was always inspired by that. And that's kind of where I got started.
Now, speaking of Game of Thrones, did you watch the whole series?
I am sorry to say that I have.
Yeah, and well, I have too. What did you think of the finale, the last season? Because there are people who are demanding another ending, or I don't know how they can even do that. I mean, as a writer, Well, I guess it wasn't even him that wrote it, was it? Is that, I mean, so yeah, what did you think of it?
You do not have a long enough radio show for me to talk about how much that disappointed me.
Really?
it was so terrible. Oh my God. None of, like, you can really tell because Martin stopped writing the series at around, they ran out of his book material because he wrote five books. He's supposed to write seven to finish it off. But
right.
They started filming the series. He was supposed to be, like, they ran out of material at book five, and they started basically fan fictioning it for the rest of the series.
Oh, wow.
And none of the characters behave like how they're supposed to.
That's what I've heard. You know, I mean, I'm not a huge, you know, I don't really, I don't know. I watched the whole thing and I didn't mind it. I was like, okay, that was the end. But I mean, I kind of am like that with everything. Like, people are so bent out of shape right now the way that Dexter was ended way back when it ended. And then again, with the new miniseries they did, they're mad about how that ended. And again, I was like, okay, it ended, you know what I mean? So maybe I'm just easily, it didn't bother me.
I love that one line at the end of it. They're like, you know, Tyrion turns to the crowd and he's like, and who has a better story than Bran the Broken? I'm like, I don't know, literally everyone else in the show has a better story than him. I don't know.
I can get behind that statement. And I have to say Tyrion was my favorite. I absolutely adored him. I can't say, I loved him. But yeah, they have so many spinoffs that are supposed to be in the works, and I don't know how and out of the ones that I've heard about, I think there's one with Daenerys's people, whoever. Yeah, see, I'm not really good at the names, so there were so many so many things going on there, but with her, the blonde people, you know what I'm talking about, right? Now help me out here.
I believe it's called the House of the Dragon.
There you go. There's supposed to be a spinoff with them, and I can't remember what the other one is, but, it's not any of the ones that I would pick, so I'm kind of, I'm like, I don't even know how to watch it then, so, but we'll see.
Yeah, it kind of ruins the rewatch value the way it ended so poorly.
Yeah,
in my opinion.
Yeah, there is that. Yeah, the first couple of seasons were really, really good. So I want to hear more about the Feathers of the Fallen. Do you have an excerpt to read for us, and do you need to set it up or anything?
I do. I'll throw some context in. I decided, since you guys do have, this is like a horror like show, I decided to go and look for something darker that goes on in it, and where better to start than a scene with one of my villains. His name is Saturnine. He's a devil. Slight distinction between devils and demons. Devils are like descendants of the original fallen angels, and demons are like a mixture of humans and devils. But he has come to, in this scene I'm going to be reading, he has gone to visit his father, and the interaction goes awry, and his father is attempting to open something that will allow him to kill his own son, and it's joyful. Allow me to read this for you.
It's all yours.
Okay. Forgive me if I stumble here or there. I do have like my own podcast that I do on Saturday nights where I've been reading the book. people are usually like used to me tripping up over my own words, but forgive me if I do that. Okay.
No problem. You should hear me read.
Okay. Semyaza tried to flee, which Saturnine put an end to with a cruel and humiliating slap across his face. The devil's face was twisted in with wickedness. You insult me. Here I come to try and play the dutiful son visiting his ailing father, and yet this is what I return to? 50 years I've been away, and you can't even pretend to be happy to see me? Saturnine hadn't expected to feel any emotion at all in this meeting, but in seeing those frail fingers desperately trying to unlock the means to kill him, something snapped. He had hoped to speak to Samyaza calmly, but the old devil's actions drew forth a sudden roar of frustration. Semyaza began to tremble, and the lockbox slipped from his grasp to clang loudly off those marble floors. At least you would have wounded me, were you not so feeble, Saturnine spat in disdain. Might I inquire as to why? It's never been a secret that you despise me. But I've done nothing to deserve this hostility. When Semyaza realized that his son had truly come to speak, he decided to entertain the devil with an actual answer. Deva, the decrepit old horn exclaimed. Semyaza made an attempt to reach across the floor for the lockbox. With little effort, Saturnine used the tip of his boot to slide it just an inch or two from his reach. Semyaza sighed in defeat. Deva told me what you've done. If you were the father and I the son, would you allow such treachery? Your flamboyant display on Earth was damning on its own, but then she spoke of Caladora. Semyaza's posturing and pleading were anything but convincing, especially since he had once been such a powerful creature. Circling, shark-like, his wicked son began to take all the pleasure he could seize from the moment. As a boy, Saturnine had always feared Semyaza, and as a young man, he had resented him. Now, in his prime, Saturnine outright loathed the creature who had, for lack of a better term, raised him. Your actions, Semyaza stuttered and gasped. What you've done in Rome, it shall draw down the angelic host upon us. We cannot bolster such a defense to repel them. You are a wicked, ill-made bastard. How dare you come here? How dare you show your face before me? You ought to be down in the infernal palace pleading on your honor, on the honor of your family, for Lucifer to spare you. Infuriated by these condemnations, Saturnine strode forward and struck Saturnine with all the force he could manage. His father was knocked back from the blow and thrown over a sofa onto a crystal table and sent the glasses and plates atop it flying in all directions. Stop your pathetic sniveling. The son snorted while waving the ebbing pain from his knuckles. Violent as he was, Saturnine had never had the makings of a skilled warrior. Had you expected to be eternal, immortal, perhaps? The devil knew what answer Semyaza would give, but was far too entertained with bullying him to care. How I've come to despise your lot, the bright and glorious first feathers of the fallen, one failed rebellion, one fall from grace, and now you're all broken, frightened little creatures. Not a qualm amongst you to send scores of your children to blaze a failed warpath across the stars, so long as you were free to creep and cower in this disgusting pit. And that is pretty much all I've got for tonight.
Oh, they always cut it off way too short.
That was awesome. I was enjoying that. How dare you?
I'm actually good friends with your next guest on the show, and I was talking to him maybe 15 minutes before the show started, and I'm like, oh, by the way, how long is this supposed to be? leave it to me to go into something like this unprepared.
I do every week, so you're in good company. I never know what's going on. Literally, I turn up 10 minutes before with you on air, and Xtina just tells me what's going on. So I think it adds to the spontaneity for me and the fun.
I love how about an hour before the show, sometimes the guests would be like, and what number do we call in? I'm like, oh, yeah, that would be helpful. That would be really
helpful. Yeah, you'd think, wouldn't you? You'd think.
Yeah. No, that was great, though. And when you're making out the signed copy, that's Xtina.
I'll make sure to do that.
And I do the awkward pause. They really can't do much. They can't say anything. You know, they have to, okay. Although we have had some guests that very politely just change the subject
just
right then.
It.
I'm like,
yeah. Well, it serves you right. Well, you're just shameless.
I am. But I love my book.
Who are reading it, the better, you know, with more eyes on it.
That's how I feel every time I send out one of my poetry books. It's gone out into the world. It's you know, if someone else is reading it. No, I absolutely love it. So, no, that was great. I have a question about the names. How do you find names? I mean, do you research? I don't know. Like, how do you come up with these names? They sound like nothing I've ever heard before.
Well, the name Semyaza is an old, like, archaic kind of, like, I forget whether or not it's, what is that? What is that culture? It's not Sumerian. It's not the one, it's one of those old, like, Semitic languages. But if you go back and see, like, the Book of Enoch, or, like, the Book of Jubilees, or the books that cut out of the Bible, Semyaza was actually the name of, like, what Lucifer kind of became as the Bible became more of what it was. Semyaza was, like, the original fallen angel.
Huh.
That's where I got his name.
I had no idea.
And Saturnine is actually a, that one is, like, it's just a descriptor of him, of, like his mother named him because of, like, the circumstance of how he was born. He was born not in the most pleasant circumstances. He's obviously born in hell, and so Saturnine is, like, literally the definition of it is gloomy or sadness. So he's not really, that doesn't really embody him, but he wasn't born under good circumstances. So that's kind of where I got that name.
Interesting.
The Nordic side,
yeah,
I just kind of like, I just,
whenever the fantasy authors, I'm just like, I'm wowed. I am, because, you know, I got a Sarah, you know, Elizabeth, you know, Mary. Like, how do you do that?
Dave,
and then,
I'm pretty bad as well. When I will rack my brain. I end up, one of the things I do, obviously, not with fantasy, but I'm writing is, say I'm writing something set in New York, you know, and the characters, you know,
Tony.
In Italian, American, in New York. Yeah, it's Tony, isn't it? Tony, Gustavo, you know. But no, I will actually Google, you know, the top 10 Italian American names in New York, and that's how, and then I will just, you know, pick one, and I'm terrible because I, you know, I think I probably know about six names, and it would be the same six names for everything I ever wrote ever.
So,
with fantasy stuff, and it, that there's a meaning behind them, and you're doing all that, and that absolutely fascinates me. You know, is it a part of the job that you enjoy, or you find it, oh, I've got to think of another bloody name now?
It's a little bit fun. It gets tiring after a while, especially when I add characters and then realize I have to name them for the universe. When I'm dealing with, because there were several different cultures in, like, this novel. So if I'm naming, like, the Nordic characters, I gotta go look up, like, old like Brunhildes and Haralds and
Brunhilde, that's a good name.
I have almost one culture that's kind of like Irish in nature, so I gotta have, like, the Finns and the Seamuses and what have you. It just kind of goes along that. It's fun to do when you're building it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say, I was just reading a romance book there, and they had a character in their, I think, late 30s, early 40s, and the name was Brandley, and I'm like, okay, there's nobody that was named anything like that. Brandley, what's a Brandley? I don't know, it makes me...
Yeah, it's Chardonnay,
it bothers me.
It's like nobody, like, modern day, you know, picking the modern day, nobody's called Enid anymore. Yeah, or Edith. That's a good one. That is a good one. If you're doing a Scottish sort of thing, but, you know, all those great old names like Dot, you know, that sort of thing. Mm. I mean, I'm that bad. If I don't say, because I have to, when I'm writing something, so if it's a novel or anything of any length, I have to keep a character list. I did it actually today. I'm working on a project today, and I was, you know, I'll think of a new character, and it's whatever it was, you know, Dave probably, and then it's something. Oh, I wonder if I've got, and of course I then do a search, and then I find, you know, three chapters before I've already got a Dave. You know, oh, I'm gonna think of another name now. You know, it's not my fate. It's probably one of the places that I'm a little bit unimaginative, I think, is names.
Yeah, he's probably got two children named Dave. He just forgot that, you know, one of them already had that name. And
yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah. Dave and Dave just accept it now. You know, they're kind of happy with
yeah.
that. But, yeah. But Dave's not best friends, I can tell you. Well, it's like George Foreman. I mean, George Foreman called all
yes.
his kids George Foreman. And he's
every
got
single
like,
one of them, with the exception
like
of his daughter.
Nine kids. Yeah. Wasn't his daughter called George Foreman as well? Probably. Yeah.
Rita Foreman. She's a boxer herself.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well,
there
you go.
I know that.
Yeah. There you go.
Maybe that's the difference between girls. I mean, I love naming things, so that probably is the most fun for me is naming the characters. But that's just yeah. So what are you?
I know what your least favorite thing is, actually, and that's making your poems rhyme.
You know, that's not totally true, but no, I love to rhyme, but then I discovered free verse, and it's so much fun. It's I just actually.
So it's lazy.
Speaking of.
Lazy.
No,
that's
no.
what it is. It's lazy.
It actually,
oh, no.
it's not. Yeah, thank you. Right. I actually just yesterday on Facebook, I saw a memory pop up, and it was, I think, 4 years ago when I started free verse poetry, and in my very first free verse poem, and it's really cool to look at it now and go, oh, my God, that sucked. And it was cute. It was cute. But seeing the growth was really, really, really interesting. So, no, I loved the free verse. I loved my first three books that were in that were rhyming. And I may go back to them, but I'm having too much fun with free verse. So it's not lazy.
Mm-hmm.
But I know. But we're going to talk about Christopher here for a little bit longer. What are you working on now?
I'm working on like three different novels at the same time and burning all the candles at both ends. Currently I'm writing another fantasy novel that's kind of set in the same universe, but it's not a sequel to like anything. It's a story of the Tower of Babel. You guys are familiar with it. It's like that old Bible story where people,
mm-hmm.
And the funniest thing about all this is I'm not religious, but for some reason this is the road I've decided to go down. But it's just I can't really talk about it too much because it's like a backstory to my villain, but it gives away like the huge reveal of book two. So it's suffice to say I'm just writing like crazy on sort of a pre-biblical story.
Awesome. We will have to reach out to you when it gets closer and have you come back on the show and talk about it with us.
Oh, I'd love to.
Yeah, I think we're just about out of time for our first segment, Christopher, but I want to thank you so much for coming on and give us a quick plug where we can find you online.
Okay. Just on Facebook or on Twitter, Christopher Monzo. I don't really have any kind of like website established. But, yeah, you can just look me up, Christopher D. Monso, The Feathers of the Fall and the Apostasy of Eden, Facebook, Twitter, usually on there, or YouTube.
Awesome. For all of our listeners out there, go out and find Feathers of the Fallen by Christopher Monso. And thank you so much, and I can't wait to have you back on.
Well, I can't wait
it's
to
been
you
an
back.
Absolute pleasure, sir. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good
You're
night.
Welcome.
Okay, have a great rest of your evening. Bye-bye. Yeah, it is. It is time to crack open another box of Chateau Le Neuf, and for me to go and empty the old bladder, and we will be right back.
Panic Room Radio Show is brought to you by Hellbound Books Publishing, purveyors of all manner of dark fiction. You can find the publisher, along with links to all of their available works across platforms, at hellboundbookspublishing.com. In the mood for something steamy to read? Check out erotica author Jennifer Lynn at jenniferlynnerotica.com. You can find James and Xtina at their respective websites, jameslongmore.com for James and darkpoetprincess.com for Xena. Don't forget to follow The Panic Room on social media. Facebook unofficial, The Panic Room Radio Show, our Vimeo channel with all of our previous shows, the new Panic Room Radio Show, and come visit our website, www.panicroomradio.com.
Welcome back to part two.
Well, 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 we're back again. Are you back, Xena?
I am.
You're with us. That's tremendous. It wouldn't be a show without you. It literally wouldn't be a show without you because I wouldn't know what was going on. To be honest, I think sometimes you remind me. Sometimes I just wouldn't. I'd just go to bed and just forget.
We always have such a great time, though. I mean, even on there's some nights that I'm like, oh man, I would just love to have a night off and just go to bed early or watch TV or something. But then every time as soon as we get going, to me, to be honest, as soon as I hear the banjos, I get this big smile on my face and we used to go back and forth between the wine bottle opening and the banjos.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, I love the banjos. I just love it. I smile.
It would, you know, it would not be the same, would it, without the banjo. I need to play my sort of theme tune occasionally as well. You know, so we need to do that. I should do.
Yeah.
You know, because you know, I think I deserve that in many ways.
You do definitely. So
Yeah,
but I don't think I would be very good at the beginning part to say hi to everybody. Oh, my gosh, I fret so bad. Even just now in my head, I was like, okay, if James isn't there, what are you going to say? You know, I don't have any buttons. I can't push anything. I would just have to babble until you made it back, and it would be awful. I'm thinking, what stories can I tell?
I remember we did try it once, and to be fair to you, it was an abject disaster.
I don't know what I was doing wrong. I had my mute button. I had a script and I was reading it, which, you know, I'm awful at that. But I was, you know, doing it, and then I would get a message from the boyfriend going, I don't hear anything. So then I would fiddle with something again and try it again. And so I'd go into my speech and he'd go, I don't hear anything. I'm like, oh my God, I don't know what I'm doing wrong. So we'll never know, but it has to be the both of us. I mean, we just can't do it without it. So
I think in the past 272 shows, I think I've done it once without you. I think you were poorly.
Yes.
And I battled on my own. And I hated it. I really,
2018.
I mean, it was, there you go. So you are the show's historian, which is great. The guests were great, but I felt empty inside, to be honest.
Aww,
I really did.
Yes.
You know,
it definitely
I think
was not
the,
a progress.
The show has to be both of us or neither of us, I think. You know, and
that's,
as you know, I did try to duck out back in the early days.
yes, I would not let that. No, it's awful.
Really, with you know, the guy who stepped in for a couple of weeks, Michael, did a great job, but it's one of those things that I think on paper you've got somehow it's so improbable it works, which is kind of interesting.
I agree. I would never. If you know, we would have to make some kind of deal when we want to like end the show, which I can't even think about because it's just I love it so much, but we'd have to both just decide that this is it. We're coming up on.
I always said, you know, when I got bored with it, when it wasn't fun anymore, I'd walk away, I'd quit. And you know, credit to you and to the show, you know, here we are, probably what, coming up to 7 years now. God. Was it 2015 we started doing this nonsense?
I think maybe. I'll have to look at the book or something, but I think
is a shame that those very early shows, those first shows, are lost in the ether and never to be repeated. I would dig them out and play them again because I think they were just... They were interesting. You know, I miss those long awkward silences. I really do.
My God. No, they were, you know, I could feel my face getting hotter and it was awful. No. Yeah, I definitely am. I'm glad they're long lost. I really am.
I wish. I wish there was. It's like, you know, I go back over some my short story collection, Blood and Kisses, available from Hellbound Books, which really from the very first short story I had published right through to the couple I actually wrote especially for the collection. And seeing that evolution, I mean, the early ones weren't terrible. And I know authors who have rewrite, they go back and they're rewriting their old stuff. And I could never do that because
they're not
perfect. They, if I rewrote them, they could be probably a lot better. But that's not the point. The point is you can see the progression, you know?
Yes.
You can
I love
see
that.
The evolution of, you know, I can say my first story was, the first published one was actually in, it was a Greenpeace fundraising anthology, or just an e-book, you know, and I was thrilled to bits, you know?
Right, yeah, definitely.
And, yeah, it could probably do with some, but, no, I'm not one for going back. I would not go back. And it's probably why I don't read my own books, because I would be mentally editing and tweaking, and you know, I could do this and that. just don't do that. You have to move forward, you know.
Yep.
But anyway, before I cough up another lung, I think it's that time.
Oh, hey. Looks like it's time to review something. Oh, no.
It's the lovely Samantha. How are you, lovely Samantha?
I am. I'm glad tomorrow is Friday. What about you guys?
Woo!
Oh,
me too.
I could do it being Friday today, to be honest with you. Yeah, I've got to slog through another day, but there you go.
Oh, God. Oh, yes, I'm excited about the book that you're going to review for us. So, yeah, I have a...
It's not another one of yours. It's not another one of yours, is it, Xtina?
not this time. I actually hopped on the Verity train by Colleen Hoover, and I read it, and so I decided I would review it, and it's so worth the hype. I wasn't expecting to like it the way that I did. I finished it in like a day and a half. I didn't read any other book. And I was really on the edge of my seat and was getting annoyed because I kept putting my leg to sleep. I was so anxious while I was reading it. And
that's nice.
It's literally the most basic premise in the entire world. There's a girl, her name's Lowen, and she's been kind of hired to ghostwrite the rest of this series for an author who can't finish it. And she is sick, so her husband is like meeting Lowen. They're going to look through these manuscripts. And then from the time she gets to the house to look at the manuscripts, like, you have no idea what's happening at all the rest of the time you're reading. And you'll think that you know what's happening, and then you're, like, real wrong. And it's, like, it's nice. So crazy. Like, I still don't know what happened. Still don't really know what I thought. And then I found out there's, a Verity Facebook group. And so I had to scroll through there because, you know, I needed to read the other conspiracy theories. And believe it or not, this book is so widely debated that Colleen Hoover actually joined the group herself and weighed in and was trying to, like, answer questions for people, because I guess, like, her fan mail is just outrageous. I mean, but really, it's a great book. And I just saw Barnes & Noble is releasing a newer edition, and it's supposed to have one extra chapter included. And I'm debating on if I need that in my life.
Oh, God, I'm going to need it, yes. I have to say, I've known of Colleen Hoover for many years now, and I've never read I had not read a book by her. And the only reason, this is horrible, James, I asked her to be on the show a couple of years ago, and she never answered me, but she never – maybe she's busy. I mean, there's many times I get a message that I'm like, I'm going to go back and you know, answer it, and then I forget, and it gets buried. So
I get it.
At the same, it is it, okay? But at the same time, that was the reason. I'm like, okay, I'm not going to – but anyway, just recently she got really hyped up. Like, I saw her name everywhere, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to give it a book a shot. And I read one of her really romance ones, Reminders of Him. And, oh, my God, it was so good. She's a great writer. It was romance. You know, I mean, there was definitely other elements, but it wasn't any kind of thriller-ish, what I think Verity is.
Oh, yeah, Verity is definitely very thriller. I mean, like, I still stalk this group once a day. I need to know what really happened. Have to know. Like, we need a sequel or, like, a different point of view.
Yeah.
She's a really great writer. I've read It Ends With Us. I really liked it.
I just finished that. I just finished that one. And so now I've gotten two Colleen Hoovers under my belt. And I can say I just thought she was amazing. I was so impressed. I mean, I was speechless, I think. Well, now the first one, Reminders of Him, when I finished that, I was sobbing. Not just a little tear, but so badly that the boyfriend was pretending not to look at me because he was like, oh, God, what's wrong over there? I was crying so hard. But it was, I mean, it was nice. I don't know. I'm a glutton for punishment
there's definitely like no crying in Verity, but you get very angry. There's lots of like anger. And I should mention too, just because it is a thriller, but there is a lot of like child death in this book. So maybe you should check trigger warnings, you know, when picking it up. Because I wasn't really expecting that. It's like I said, it's a thriller. There's lots going on.
Yes. Yeah, I have that book and I will be reading it very soon. So I'm trying to get her on the show now. So Colleen, if you're listening.
Yes, that would be so amazing. I have so many questions.
I'm telling you. We would so fangirl. So I think I'm gonna find that group and infiltrate it and we'll get her.
And
it's
literally called the Verity Discussion Facebook group. I mean, it's full of posts. I mean, so many posts a day. It's ridiculous.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you so much, Samantha. I think we are going to say goodnight for another week, but I can't wait to talk to you and see what you have for us next week.
Yes, it was good talking to you guys.
Thank you,
Samantha.
I'll speak to you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Oh, she is lovely. Isn't she lovely?
She is.
Lovely. She's a lovely. So speaking of lovely, neat segue. Who have we got coming up next, Christina? God, I'm so smooth. It's scary, isn't it?
You are smooth. Yeah. Our next guest of the evening, we have a dark fantasy author as well, Varden M. Frias.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you? I am doing very well. How are you two doing?
Oh, it's Thursday night.
Yeah, it would be better if it was Friday night, but, you know, can't have everything.
Yeah, well,
Thursday
so mentally...
Friday night.
I know. See, mentally, I kind of check out Thursday nights. So, you know, it's really a struggle for me to work on Friday. I hate to, you know, let James know that. But, yeah, I mean, because I mentally, I'm like, okay, this is the end of the week. I'm like, no, it's really not. So, but, yeah. Yeah, I thought it was really cool tonight to have a whole dark fantasy night. And that way we can, ask all the questions that, like, again, I am so much in awe of the authors who can create these amazing worlds that, I just can't do.
You know, I can't. I like to have my happenings in the real world, because I don't know. I've always enjoyed science fiction, and I'm a group reading, the greats, and the world. I mean, they just create whole worlds, whole universes, everything. Mm-hmm. And I was always in awe of that. I wouldn't know where to start. Is the truth? Would not know where to start.
So where do you start, Varden?
It depends on the project, but the one that we're going to talk about tonight. That was kind of something that evolved over, like, a very long span of time. The idea came to me when I was 16 years old, and I'm 30 now. And it's been little bits and pieces throughout, 15 or 16 years of just me picking up stuff along the way, just being inspired by different things. like, one of them, most notably, is the Michael Dougherty Trick or Treat film. And when I first saw that movie, I was like, this is Halloween, and I want this feeling that I'm getting from this movie. I want to put it in something of my own and give it to somebody else. So that's one of the main inspirations for at least the world that I'm working in with Dark Specials.
I was just looking at the tagline there. Is that Rayanne? Is that her name?
That is correct.
Yeah, after Rayanne's friend is gobbled up by otherworldly creatures, she ventures into another universe in search of her friend's soul. Oh, I like it. That sounds very, what was that show? Stranger Things-ish, kind of, with the upside, or I've only seen a couple of those episodes, so I don't know. Wasn't it the Upside Down or something?
It's the Upside Down, yeah. And I can't believe you've got we've got the fourth and final season coming up shortly. I'm beyond excited. And it's not often I get that excited about TV, but it's just like, it's been so well done, and I think because it's evocative of sort of the 1980s sort of feel, and early Stephen King and Spielberg and a lot of that, so they've thrown a lot of nostalgia to it, which I guess hooks in those old farts, you know. But it's great, simple story, but good story, great characters. Winona Ryder, you know, she's always she's always value for money, is Winona.
Mm-hmm.
but yeah, absolutely. Again, it was the same about they've created that world, but they've created it around beneath the everyday, which I find, is always a great trope.
Yeah, I think I've watched the first season and maybe like an episode or two of the second, and I don't know. I thought it was great, so I don't know why we never finished it, but maybe I'll definitely have to say, let's start that over again. And this has nothing to do with books here, but I have to say I'm very excited. I think tomorrow they drop the second part of the last season of Ozark, and I love Ozark, so I'm like, so excited to see that. And if you haven't watched that yet, James, you have to. It's so good.
A lot of people said I need to watch that stuff. I think I need to.
Yeah, definitely.
Excuse me. Sorry,
definitely,
I don't mean to. Trying not to die on the air. Yeah.
Barden, tell us a little bit more about Dark Spectrals.
There's a lot, but one of the main things that I was thinking about earlier as far as the other places I drew inspiration was from Jim Henson's The Dark Crystal.
Love that movie. Love that movie.
Yeah. That movie, the practical effects, I am in love with that so much. And all the way the creatures looked, like everything was alive and everything was moving, like even the crystals were moving, they're like the rocks. So like I was like, okay, I want something similar to that for Dark Spectrals. And that's like a lot of how everything in the world acts.
Interesting. Do you, I think I want to hear more. I'm just, you know, I love the title. So I'm like, I just keep staring at the excerpt. Do we have an excerpt to read?
Yes, we do.
Yay!
We have I'm pulling up my document.
All right.
Okay. So just for a little bit of context, this is, I believe it is chapter 5. And what has just happened, as you've heard in the tagline, is that Rayanne's friend has been murdered. I'm not going to say how, because to me it's interesting how she dies and everything leading up to that. But this is when Rayanne realizes that she's not in Kansas anymore. She's in a very different location. So let's begin with that. Rayanne watched as June sucked Avery's soul from her remains. Avery's personalities, memories, hopes, and dreams were reduced to an orb of pulsing ectoplasm, no larger than the Mordred palm. And for reference, the Mordred is the name of the monsters in this book. It glowed a dull yellow and hovered in the air. Filmy slime clung to the glassy center and slid off like molten wax in a lava lamp. Avery was gone, demolished by one of the many Mordred who visited that small town every year. Janulu grinned at Rayanne and snapped its fingers, vanishing with Avery's soul. Only a few violet flecks stirred in the air as any indication the Mordred had ever been there. Rayanne's mouth hung open to push out a scream that sounded like a soft moan, but stopped when she noticed the other Mordred remained in the street smoking its pipe. In the darkness, the smoke shimmered and twisted in the cold breeze as she waited for her own death. The smoke smelled like old pumpkin and damp earth. She fought the gag reflex. Avery's death still turned her stomach, sickeningly fresh. The Mordred seemed taller than before, dwarfing her both in physical size and capability. Her frail lizard brain sent off alarm bells that this deity, older than time, would end her carnal existence with no more ceremony than her sweeping dust under a rug. The pain of Avery's death mingled with a bitterness awakened by the Mordred's ritualistic arrival, and a courage she had never known overcame her as she accosted the arcane entity. "Give her back." The Mordred flicked the glass pipe with its claw, and the pipe assumed the shape of a reaper's scythe. The scythe's full length extended, and the bottom clanked on the asphalt, startling her into a sharp pause. At the top, a silver diamond eye blinked shut to form the curved blade. The Mordred raised the scythe and swung down. She closed her eyes, trembling in anticipation of her own demise. Instead, a ripping sound teased her attention, and opened her eyes to find that the scythe tore open an interdimensional portal. Its electric edges danced and crackled. Inside the portal, a violet kaleidoscope geometric pattern spiraled into a dark oblivion. She turned back to the Mordred. "Is this where she is? Can I find her there?" The Mordred's response to her question was a rough shove into the portal. She screamed, flailing her arms in an attempt to grab onto the dregs of the material plane, but her hands faced the violet electric mist. She rushed through the geometric shapes like driving through rain and plunged into the black depths at the end of the tunnel. Her blurry vision offered no indication of where the Mordred had taken her. After a few moments of panicked breathing, she looked back to the portal to find the portal had closed. "What?" She spoke in a strained whisper, her squinty eyes darting around, grasping for any details. Above her, an orange sun glowed, hanging low in the late afternoon position. The sky faded from hazy violet to orange to a very pale orange that ended in a white streak on the jagged horizon line. Clarity brought her surroundings into focus. The orange sun dabbled its saturated hue onto the brown, dying corn stalks surrounding her. The chilly breeze created the illusion of soft whispering as the stalks rubbed each other. She wrapped her arms around herself and looked at the trail cut between the rows like a corn maze. The breeze died, but the whispering continued, gathered in her stomach as she followed the whispering to the corn. Bulbous knots protruded from the stalks, where the ears of corn should have been. When she touched the outer husk of one of the bulbs, bits flaked off like ash. It split open like a vertical eye. She shrieked and jumped back as the orange eye blinked, looked at her, then closed again. She shuddered, glancing around at the forest of blinking eyes and thick gesticulating stalks. The volume of whispers swelled, waxing and waning, like an autumn breeze as vines twisted above her and created a tunnel of writhing foliage. Orange and violet patches of the sky crept through the crosshatch of overgrowth, the spaces between the flora thinning as they took over. She looked back to confirm the portal was gone and might never return. Panic set in.
I like that. I do. And what you said about the kaleidoscope thing. I was picturing it. That was pretty cool.
It's quite Lovecraftian as well. Yeah,
yes,
is that an influence or was that just sort of accidental?
Lovecraft has a lot of influence over a lot of things I write, and he definitely had a huge influence in this as well.
Awesome. I really enjoy that. So, again, when you are making out the signed copy, that's X-T-I-N-A.
Don't give in. Tell her no. You can't tell her no.
I don't have nearly enough dark fantasy. I don't. I'm fascinated. I am. I would love to read that. I hate that when we just get into a good reading and we're there and then they just stop. you know.
I know.
Like, wait a minute. But
yeah,
that's great.
We need to make the show, like, you know, 9 hours long so we can read all the book. That's what has to happen.
Definitely. Is there going to be other books in the series, or is this a standalone?
Dark Spectrals is what I like to call a part of the Mordred universe, which the Mordreds, I didn't explain that earlier, but they're essentially Grim Reapers in this universe. They're the entities of death in many different forms. So I want to hit as many of those different forms as I can through different books. So I have a lot planned for this universe. I have a sequel for Dark Spectrals in the works right now. And I have several other ideas just kind of like spinning around, but I definitely want to have more in this universe.
I think that we have a caller who wants to say, or maybe has a question for you, Varden.
Let's see, shall we? Hello, mystery caller. Hello.
Maybe.
Hold on.
Hello, Arden and Christopher, if you're listening, I just want to say you guys are awesome and great show tonight.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Does anyone know who I am?
I do. Hey, Teresa.
Is this
how
Teresa?
Are you?
Hey, it's Teresa. I told
Hello.
You I was going to call in.
You did.
Hey, James.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
No, I just had to give... What?
Is it always a delight?
Of course. No, I wanted to give a special shout-out to them, my buddies.
Woo-hoo!
They are so very talented.
From the sound of it, yes. I can't wait to read them, so definitely. And
yes,
yeah, I don't
pick
think,
them up,
yeah.
Read them.
Yes, I'm going to. Well, thank you so much for calling in, Teresa.
You're welcome.
You should call her more often to say hi to us.
Yeah, thank
but
you.
Yeah.
Love you guys.
I'll talk to you online. Love you.
Right. Bye.
Hey, thank you. Have a jolly evening. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So, Varden, I was going
to
ask.
It must be nice. It must be nice to have a fan. I wouldn't know, but
I'm
you know.
I'm telling you. Yeah, I know,
I
right?
Know.
We have open lines, you know. But no, Varden, I was going to ask you the same thing I asked our first guest about the names when you're creating a world, you know, like this, and then you know, how do you name your characters? I mean, Renee, you're like, okay, that one's kind of, you know, normal, but I mean, the spelling of it was a little different. But you know, her friend Janulu, I was like, that's pretty cool. Like, how do you come up with the different names?
So Janulu is one of the monsters. Her friend is named Avery, but Janulu came to me very randomly. It literally just popped into my head, and I looked it up online. Have I ever heard this word before, this gibberish coming out of my mouth? And I couldn't find anything. So I was like, that's a great name for a character. I'm going to keep that because I like the way it sounds.
Yeah, I did too, and I don't think I've ever heard it before either. And, you know, it's weird that the way things will come to us. I had a dream, and it was a really strange name. And I remember in the dream thinking, oh, I have to remember this when I wake up. And, of course, I did, but I did not write it down. But, you know, James is always telling me.
Right. How many times have I told you? You even have a book.
Yeah.
You even have the book.
I do.
Yes, write stuff down, you know.
I do. It's bad. You know, the funny thing is I had a message from somebody on Facebook a couple days ago, and I was like, all right, as soon as I get up to the office, I will get back with you and, you know, we'll talk about this or whatever. And I'm like, I'm writing it down. And then like 2 days later, they reminded me. I'm like, you know what? And I even wrote it down. So, I don't know. There's no hope for
me. Oh, dear.
I know.
not anymore.
But I'm so sweet that they never mind. So it's there's that. So, Barton, what are you working on now?
Right now, I'm taking a break from the Mordred series because it's a very long series, and I want to give it the time that it needs. I'm working on the sequel to a self-published novel that I have out, and it's a sequel. It's called English Luster, and it's completely different from Dark Specials in that, not that different. The characters in it are demons in a 1920s, like, alternate reality type setting. They're gangsters and all that fun prohibition stuff, and they peddle drugs and all those great things. So I'm working on that right now, and I'm pretty close to finishing. I want to say within the next 2 weeks, I'll have that out there on Amazon. But the first book in that series, it's a trilogy. It's The Caldera's Vice, and I do have that on Amazon right now.
Gangster demons. I'm telling you, this is pretty cool. This is good stuff here. I'm going to have to check out this dark fantasy stuff. I don't think I ever have before. And it kind of reminds me of just, you know, when it comes to fantasy, it kind of is like a, well, not really like Bizarro, but I mean, you can do anything. Like, the sky's the limit. You can create the whole world, and that is just so fascinating. It just seems like so much work. I mean, you know,
I would say once you've created that world, then, you know, you like you say, you create the rules, you create the fit, everything. And that must be so liberating, because then you can just have at it and you can have all this stuff going on. And that must be nice. We're not being quite so restricted by the everyday world, I think. So, certainly I seem to be perpetually stuck in.
Yeah, I would not have any idea where to start. When it comes to creating a whole world. But you know what? I was reading, I was going to ask this. Do you provide like a glossary in the back or in the front or something for the words maybe that we don't know or because I was reading a book one time and it was a futuristic and I really enjoyed it, but they just introduced things to you. They didn't stop to explain it, which I kind of liked it, because it was just like, this is just how it is. I mean, there's no explanation. This is just something that there is. And you had to kind of figure it out for yourself what actually that was. And I don't know, I kind of thought that was pretty cool, you know, kind of left it up to the reader to decipher.
Yeah, I don't have a glossary for Dark Specials, but that is a very good idea for people who would want that. The world of Dark Specials, though, it's meant to be mostly confusing. I mean, there are constants, like how, like, the law that these creatures are the only things that cause death in the world. But a lot of the other stuff is very, like, a softer form of magic, kind of like Alice in Wonderland type magic.
Nice. Like, even your word, the Mordreds, like, I was like, that's a really cool word. Is that a real word? Is that real, or did you make that up?
I made it up. I also looked that one up, too. It was, when I looked it up, because I was like, I think I was 16 when I looked it up, just to make sure. There is a historical figure named Mordred, and I think the King Arthur's storyline. So I was like, it's close enough, but it's like, I still really like that word with the Y in it. I'm going to keep that.
Yeah, I kind of like how, you know, when I'm looking at it and when you read it, I was like, yeah, that kind of sounds like a real word, or like I should know what that means, but I really don't. So that's kind of cool. So yeah, like I think that, you know, I probably, if there was a glossary, I would definitely spend time looking at it. But at the same time, you just, you know, I just like the fact that I didn't really know for sure, and it sounded pretty real. So that was really cool.
Well, thank you.
But yeah, I think that we are almost out of time for our show, but you have to promise to come back and see us.
I will.
Yay! And give us a shout out where I know I always do the pause because, you know, you can't back out once you say you will.
It is now legally binding. You have to come back.
There's no legally bound.
Yes, she will. She will stalk you. She will turn up on your front lawn one morning. And
yeah. So, before I let you go, though, tell us where we can find you online.
You can find me under the name Vardhan Frias at Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok, and also Vardhan Frias Author. That's the Instagram one. And I also have a thing, Storytime with Vardhan, which is also on Instagram and YouTube. And I'm also on Fiverr as a book cover artist.
Wow. He's everywhere. That's awesome.
Absolutely.
For all of our listeners out there, go out and find Dark Spectrals by Vardhan M. Frias. And thank you so much for being on the show. We can't wait to have you back.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Have a great rest of your evening. Okay, speak to you soon. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
That was awesome.
I know. A dark fantasy night. I'm with you. I am fascinated by, you know, the world building, and I think it's a little bit beyond me. Part of me would like to try it, and part of me, I'm frightened, to be honest.
You know, if there was a, like, dark fantasy guide for dummies that we could pick up and, like, you know, create your own, that would work.
There you go. Or a template.
Right.
We could just drop, drop the names in. Yeah, Mad Libs, that'd be great. Dark Fantasy Mad Libs. That's probably as far as I could probably get, to be honest with you, you know. So,
It would be fun.
I used to love playing those. But anyway, it is, unfortunately, time to say goodnight, Xtina.
Goodnight, Xtina.
Goodnight.
It happened. I felt it happen. I was awake. I wasn't blind. I didn't think. I felt it happen. Now I believe in matter over mind. And now you see we mustn't wait. The nearest moment that we marry is too late. Have you met Miss Jones? Someone said as we shook hands. She was just Miss Jones to me. Then I said, Miss Jones, you're a girl who understands. I'm a man who must be free. And all at once I lost my breath. And all at once was scared to death. And all at once I owned the earth and sky. Now I've met Miss Jones, and we'll keep on meeting till we die, Miss Jones and I. I lost my breath, and all at once was scared to death, and all at once I owned the earth and the sky. Now I've met Miss Jones, and we'll keep on meeting till we die, Miss Jones and I. Miss Jones, Miss Jones and I. Miss Jones and I, Miss Jones and I.